Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle...
Show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West.
...is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
We are live at Lewis Park in Atlanta, Georgia. A very special edition of pregame Dodger Talk. From the field as the Dodgers practice here in Atlanta. I'm going to move a little closer to the booth here because got a little signal issues there, but we'll be all good as we wait for some Dodgers to come off the field and as we count down to game six of the NLCS. It will be Ian Anderson against Walker Buehler, Cody Bellinger, and the rest of the Dodgers. I was right their way, so... Yeah, it's a big night here in Atlanta as the Dodgers get set for Game 6 of the NLCS. The Dodgers will have Walker Buehler on short rest, not Max Scherzer, who is still feeling some body fatigue from pitching in Game 2 and obviously the residual of closing out Game 5 of the NLDS. So Max Scherzer and the Dodgers are going to have to wait another day, and they're hoping to get to that point. Scherzer be able to pitch in that game tomorrow night here in Atlanta, because as of now, the Dodgers are just trying to stay alive. And Max Scherzer actually spoke earlier today about what has gone on and what prevented him from starting tonight's game six.
My arm's been locked up the past couple days. After that game two start, I knew I was going to be sore for a couple days, but it was just general muscle soreness, across my arm body. That's normal when you're in the playoffs and you overcook yourself like that. I've dealt with that many times. I just wasn't recovering. I got to basically day four, and it felt like day one still. So, I knew I was in kind of a bind in that, on a couple days ago. But the good news is, was able to finally turn a corner yesterday on the off day. Finally was able to get back out to 90 feet, a catch. Came in today and felt even better when I played that catch out to 90 feet. So I'm progressing. I'm not dealing with a sprain. I'm not dealing with a strain. I'm just dealing with muscle fatigue. It just takes time. This is a work capacity issue, and I'm just trying to, just work through it.
So that was a good explanation and transparency from Max Scherzer. The one thing that everybody is wondering, though, and I asked him this question, whether or not this is specifically because he was asked to come in to pitch the ninth inning of Game 5 of the NLDS in San Francisco.
I don't think it's just the ninth inning. It's a culmination of everything. It's a work capacity issue of taking all the starts of and putting them together. So it's never just one outing that gets you in trouble. It's it's kind of all those outings, all the outings added together. And then for me, I over the course of my career, I've been really good about being able to communicate with my manager, all my managers throughout my career, where my arm's at, to where if I make a start, I know where to stop to be able to recover and get back. And I've always been really good about that. And so I take a lot of responsibility that I haven't been able to fully recover as fast as I would like to be able to start today. And I had more fatigue than, I obviously would have liked. I overcooked my arm a little bit too much. So, unfortunately, that just pushed the timeline back. This isn't a true injury. It's just muscle fatigue. It's dead arm type stuff. A lot of times this is what you deal with in spring training.
All right, so that's a pretty good explanation from Max Scherzer about what's going on with him and his arm and where the Dodgers are going to be at as far as using Scherzer in this series. It's not going to be today and the Dodgers aren't even sure, neither is Scherzer, whether or not he would even start Game 6, because he said earlier today that he wasn't sure how many innings he could give the Dodgers. Depends on how he's feeling out there on the mound. So it's somewhat of still an unknown on how much Scherzer would be able to give the Dodgers in Game 7. If that happens, they have to win tonight, obviously, to make that happen. But there is still some uncertainty on whether or not Scherzer would be able to go more than five innings. So the Dodgers may even consider using an opener tomorrow night and have Scherzer come in and pitch the middle five innings, similar to what they did with Julio Urias in Game 5 of the NLDS. We are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. David Vasse live at Truist Park in Atlanta on the field. Boots on the ground here in Atlanta, taking your phone calls, and also coming up at the bottom of the hour, a man that still bleeds Dodger blue, the one and only Andre Ethier will check in. He's been in these type of games before. He has seen Clayton Kershaw deliver in these type of games before. Unfortunately, Kershaw not available for this series or any of the postseason, and I know that frustrates him, and it feels like as this postseason has gone on a little bit more, he's been a little bit more frustrated with the fact that he can't help his teammates, especially in these type of situations where the Dodgers have to use the bullpen game, multiple games. So the one thing that you could draw upon is that Kershaw, in these type of games, he has never once talked about soreness or anything of the sort. He has just gone out there and pitched, done his best. And as I mentioned earlier today on Twitter, at the real underscore DV, Kershaw has pitched on 3 days rest for three straight years from 2013 to 2015 in the NLDS of those years. And he never pitched less than six innings, and he never gave up more than three runs. So he has been a guy that, unless there was something structurally wrong with him, he would make the start and never would complain about it. And I know that for a fact. And those are the type of things that a lot of people take for granted when it comes to Clayton Kershaw. I think we all have taken him for granted over the course of his career. And he has set the bar so high for himself. Not only the results for Kershaw, but also what he's been able to do as far as perform for the Dodgers, even when he's not feeling his best. 866-987-2570. Now, one more part of what Scherzer had to say earlier today I want to share with you. He talked about what took place yesterday, and I reported this earlier today, that the Dodgers had decided that Buehler would start this game even before they took off for Atlanta yesterday from Dodger Stadium. And Scherzer went into a little bit more detail on how all that formulated and came together.
You know, when we came in yesterday, Walker and I were both playing catch kind of at the same time, and you know, his arm felt like he was in a much better spot than I was, and you know, Mark also agreed with that, and we felt like everybody thought that. I mean, we all said it together that, you know, Walk was the best option for us to pitch Game 6, and then I'll give you whatever I got for Game 7.
And that was basically how it all came together. A lot of times people want to make it a more complicated issue, but it comes together as simply as that, where you're just trying to throw catch and see whether or not whose body feels better. And obviously Buehler, his arm, even though he's coming off 3 days rest, is in a lot better spot than where the Dodgers feel Scherzer's at. And Scherzer just threw from 90 feet for the second day this afternoon. He threw from about 90 feet yesterday. Like he said, day four felt like day one, and that's part of the reason why he's not on the mound today. And the man that broke that story standing next to me, feeling really good about himself, Jorge Castillo from the LA Times. Jorge, how good are you feeling about yourself?
I always feel good about myself. You have to feel good about yourself.
Wow.
How do you feel about yourself?
I feel great today.
That's good.
Actually, I stubbed my small toe on my left foot, so it's a little sore. I'm playing through some pain here. Maybe playing through more pain than Max Scherzer.
This general pain in the toe?
Exactly. Thanks for checking in.
Are we live, right?
We are live on Dodger Talk from Truist Park. That's my mic connection isn't great, but we're making it work. 866-987-2570. We're going to take a timeout here from Truist Park. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Andre Ethier will check in as we try to, you know, wrangle some actual current Dodger players who want nothing to do with me. And we'll try them as well as we continue on from Truist Park as we'll lead you up to first pitch of Game 6 CS. Coming up at 5:08 from Atlanta, right here on AM570 LA Sports.
AM570 LA Sports.
Be anywhere, at any time, and you can hear past episodes of Dodger Talk.
All of those things.
Search AM570 on the iHeartRadio app.
We're streaming online.
We stream every game, too.
Come find me.
Back to Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports.
David Vassay live at Truist Park in Atlanta on the field, feeling this kitty litter dirt underneath my feet. We're with you until 4 o'clock as we hand things over to Tim Cates and the Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck show. Andre Ethier will be checking in at the bottom of the hour from Phoenix, Arizona. He still feels part of this Dodger team. Every time I say that, the people around me start to laugh and roll their eyes. I don't know why. Ethier's calling in at 3:30. The people demand it. Actually, he just like kind of guilted me into asking him to come on, but I'll put him on anyway. And we are taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers, pitching on 3 days rest for the second time this postseason, going up against Ian Anderson, who the Dodgers feel very confident about hitting tonight. It wasn't the same thing as far as Max Fried goes, but Ian Anderson, it feels like the Dodgers are a lot more confident in handling that right-hander like they did in Game 2, where Brian Snicker said he just did not have it, and they'll try it again in Game 6. So here we are, Game 6, Walker Buehler on short day's rest, and Alex Ian Anderson on the mound for the Braves. Alex Vesey is going to walk over here. Had that on my mind. Hey, I'm a one-man show here, all right? One-man show, no doubt about it. The one thing that is a little different about the Dodgers lineup tonight is no Gavin Lux in center field. They actually have a real center fielder in the lineup tonight, and that's Cody Bellinger. Hey, no disrespect to Gavin Lux, but that's a bad spot to put him in. He has not played center field all but what? Maybe not more than 10 times? That's a tall ask to put a kid out there that has never played center field. Usually, your worst outfielder plays left field. You know, Chris Duncan for the Cardinals, who won the World Series, he played left field. He was in there for his bat, too. I mean, the ultimate, we have him in the lineup for his bat outfielder, Manny Ramirez. He wasn't playing center field. He was playing left field. He was going into the Fenway Monster for a bathroom break. So that's not a shot at Gavin Lux. The Dodgers just were trying to get his bat in the lineup and maybe miscalculated putting a center field, well, and middle infielder into center field. So Matt Beatty gets the start at first base while Cody Bellinger will start in center field. The reason why Albert Pujols is not in the starting lineup tonight is because he's only hitting 180 against right-handers. And also, the Dodgers will need Pujols late in this game if it's close, because the Braves have A.J. Minter to come out of their bullpen. So you still have the Pujols card in your back pocket. So, and Tyler Matzek as well, the two-headed left-handed monster right there, who has pitched in every single Braves postseason game except one, and that was last game. So you got Tyler Matzek and A.J. Minter in the Braves bullpen, the left-handers that you could use Pujols for a little bit later in the game. So that's part of the reason why Pujols is not starting tonight. That's the biggest reason, 180 against right-handers and coming up when Minter and Matzek are in there. Oh, there's my guy, very much in demand. You got a mustache like this, you're in demand, and that's Dodger left-handed reliever Alex Vesia. Alex, thanks a lot for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man, no problem. How we doing?
We're doing great. Game 6 of the NLCS. I know you guys are feeling pretty good about yourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a battle. You know, we got two more.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, Alex, your season has been quite an evolution, I think you would describe it as. Where you're at right now, and you look back to where you started, are you allowed to even take that all in?
A little bit. Yeah, I've had bits and pieces, but as of right now, I'm kind of just focusing on today. That's the biggest thing, is focus on what we got task at hand and to get it going.
And you have a routine. It seems like you're very routine-oriented. How does Alex Vesia's day go from the very beginning?
I mean, definitely, I'm waking up. You know, I have my girlfriend here with me. She's been able to travel with us, so that's been nice. This morning, we went and got some breakfast, and then I hopped on the bus. And once I get on to the field, you know, it's rolling out, stretching, making sure my body's feeling good for catch and everything like that. And then it's waiting for game time.
As a reliever, have you felt the trust grow throughout the year from Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been every time I go out there, I feel like it's a step in the right direction, you know. And I think not only myself, but also, you know, the coaching staff, they trust me, and I trust myself. I feel really good out there when I'm out on the mound.
Alex, this isn't just about the bullpen. Your starting pitchers are starting to go down with injuries. You haven't had Trevor Bauer for the second half of the year. Do you feel during this NLCS especially, it's been more about picking each other up and next man up more than ever?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we got a taste of that during the season, I think, which actually helped us, right? So when we get into the situations, you know, we have certain guys go down and get hurt and whatnot, I don't think that we shy away from that, right? You've seen that we've had success during the season when that happens, you know, and it is definitely, you got to pick your teammates up, and it's been fun because I think it gets us closer. We're a brotherhood here, and you know, everybody's definitely pulling for one another, and that's where, you know, the team is clicking.
I bet you have to have that if you want to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a key to have a tight brotherhood in the clubhouse.
What's Blake Treinen like? He gives me a hard time, but, you know, I feel like he's one of the big brothers down there in the bullpen.
Absolutely, absolutely. He's had a really, really great impact on me this year. You know, definitely kind of taking me under his wing and, you know, definitely shown me what it's like to be a big league reliever, you know. And I can't thank him enough for all the conversations that we've had, you know, not riding the highs too high and the lows too low is what I call it. So, yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun.
Do you feel the love from your teammates? It feels like this is completely transformed organically between you and your teammates, and just how much they believe in you, and just the camaraderie that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great to watch it grow. You know, from start, and you know, to, you know, we're gonna get to the finish here. You know, so it's great. I'm very happy where I'm at, and I'm, you know, looking forward to where I'm going. So it's good.
Alex Vesia is our guest just in front of first pitch with that beautiful mustache that is perfectly groomed. I would say Pujols and you have the most perfectly groomed facial hair on the team. How does that happen?
His is very, very neatly groomed. He keeps that thing going, and I give him a lot of credit. But for mine, I mean, I only have a little bit of hair on the top lip, so it's not too hard to maintain, but... Yeah, it's been fun. I'm glad that the fans and people around me, that they like it. It's fun. It's all good.
It's part of your swag now, right? I feel like that's where you get your power from.
A little bit. Some people have said that you turned it up a notch once you got the mustache. So maybe it is, or maybe it's just playoff baseball.
Before I let you go, speaking of playoff baseball, is it everything you dreamed it would be? Not only being here, but contributing in such a big way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've never been to a playoff baseball game, like, even when I was younger, you know. So the crowd, especially like in Dodger Stadium, man, when you're out on the mound and there's two strikes and the fans are screaming, that is something that you can't describe. You know, you can only kind of go through it, man. It is amazing.
Hey, that's why you're in demand. And I'll be there when things don't go. We all know baseball next year, the regular season, there's ups and downs. So I'll be at your locker even when things are down.
It's all right. I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it.
All right. Congratulations on all the success. You do it with such a great positive attitude, and I think everybody sees that out there. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
The man, Alex Vesia. We're live, Vesia. I can't just walk off with you, okay? We're just going to keep rolling here on pregame Dodger Talk as we get going here closer to first pitch, and you could bet that Alex Vesia and the rest of that Dodger bullpen is going to be part of tonight's game because Walker Buehler's pitching on short rest. The last time he pitched on short rest, he went 4 1/3 innings. He did his job really well and handed things over to that great Dodger bullpen that you feel like is going to run out of gas at some point, but they never do. And the way that they've been able to put together these bullpen games and these guys are still standing is very impressive for what they've been able to accomplish and get the Dodgers to this point, which is game 6 of the NLCS, with the Dodgers trailing 3-2, trying to force a deciding game 7. If the Dodgers do win out in this series, they would have home field advantage against the Houston Astros at Dodger Stadium on Tuesday night for game 1 of the World Series. The Astros closed out that series last night in H-Town, beating the Boston Red Sox, sending Kike Hernandez, Alex Verdugo, and Alex Cora home. So that would be an epic World Series matchup that everybody would want to watch. Dodgers-Astros rematch, and the Dodgers have to get through here first, and if they do, they will be limping into the World Series, but they have business to take care of tonight, and I'll call my shot right now. I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on where the Dodgers match up, how they match up. I feel like tonight they do force a Game 7, and once they do, all the pressure will be on the Atlanta Braves because they have been here before a year ago, blowing a 3-1 lead. So whenever you're up 3-1 and you have to go into a Game 7, all the pressure is on you. And I feel like going around the city of Atlanta talking to some people in the stands today, if the Braves don't win today, they are going to have a heap of pressure on their shoulders tonight. So they better close it out tonight, or they may be having nightmares of what took place a year ago. And you could try to make comparisons from 5 or 6 years ago, and the players are completely different. The difference in this circumstance is the players are the same for the most part in that Atlanta dugout. Outside of Jorge Soler and Jock Peterson, the majority of those players were part of that 2020 team that coughed up that 3-1 lead. So that's where it's at as we lead you up to first pitch. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck coming up at the top of the hour with Tim Cates, and we will have first pitch between the Dodgers and Braves at 5:08 right here on AM570 LA Sports. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll check in with Andre Ethier and take your phone calls. We are live at Truist Park in Atlanta as we get set for Game 6 of the NLCS right here on AM570 LA Sports.
This is Dodger Talk on your home of the world champion Dodgers. Follow us on Instagram at AM570 LA Sports for more Dodger content.
The home of the Dodgers,
AM570 LA Sports.
David Basset live in Atlanta at Truist Park. Pre-game Dodger talk. You know it's a big game. A lot of closet listeners around here get a live show of pre-game Dodger talk. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We are on the field here at Truist Park before we hand things over to Tim Cates and Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck at the top of the hour. It's Game 6 of the NLCS with Walker Buehler on short rest going up against Ian Anderson. In case you missed the news, the Dodgers decided before they left for Atlanta yesterday that Scherzer would pitch in Game 7, give him an extra day since, in Scherzer's words, he was feeling like day 1 instead of day 4 in his progression to make his start. So Buehler, who has worn it all season long for guys like Trevor Bauer and the rest to be able to shoulder the burden of innings than more than he's ever done before, is going to wear it again tonight and be that team guy where he shoulders the burden of picking up a teammate to be able to pitch tonight in Game 6 on 3 days rest. If you remember, in Game 4 of the NLDS at Dodger Stadium, Walker Buehler pitched on short rest as well. So if there's one guy that can do it that's going to compete, it's certainly Walker Buehler. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. A man that has been involved in many of these type of games is former Dodger, who still bleeds Dodger blue and is around Dodger Stadium quite a bit. The one and only Andre Ethier joins us from Phoenix, Arizona. Andre, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, and excited to see this game get kicked off here and kind of taking a look at this lineup and starting to go through. We want to know what the great Dave Vassay thinks about it.
Yeah, I like it. I like Beatty at first base. I like having an experienced center fielder out there and Cody Bellinger. So I'm a big believer in defense during the postseason. So I do like that. I remember the 2013 NLCS because of injuries. Andre Ethier was forced into center field with a bad ankle. Remember those days?
Yeah, I did. And didn't turn out so well, the outcome of that game. But, yes, in these type games, you got to go out there and put whatever best team you can and, the players in those best positions and hope for the best and try to come up the right way. And I think this team has that experience and has that know-how to do that. I think you can see by the way they've showed up every elimination game and have figured out a way to get the job done and move on to the next day and give themselves another chance.
Andre, you've been part of these games where Clayton Kershaw has pitched on short rest multiple times. What does it take for a pitcher like Walker Buehler tonight to not only go out there, but to give the Dodgers a quality start and go more than just three or four innings like Kershaw used to?
Yeah, I think the biggest key, I can't speak from being a pitcher, but I can speak from seeing it and, whether it's judged as a success or judged as a, I wouldn't say quite a failure, but, not quite what you thought. But really it's just, you need to go out there and just pitch inning to inning. It sounds dumb, it sounds simple, it sounds, generic, but really Walker needs to go out there, figure out a way to get through the first inning with, no damage, minimal damage, and then same thing, go out there second inning, just keep doing that. I don't think there needs to be we need to get him through four, we need to get him through five. It's just, if he can give us zeros or minimal damage for as many innings he can, that's going to be a success. And hopefully what we saw game five is a glimpse of how this offense is starting to wake up and, we can get sparks from multiple guys across that lineup and stay in this game and be in a position to win and wake up tomorrow and have a chance to go to the World Series.
And if it is a game seven, Andre, after the Dodgers being down 3-1, and more importantly, the Braves being up 3-1, am I wrong in saying all the pressure is in that Atlanta dugout, and how much do they feel that pressure considering what happened last year?
There's probably some carryover with that from last year and those feelings and stuff like that, but I think you're looking very good and very smart for holding back Scherzer for a game six to be in a position to pitch him in a deciding series game. And, we know what we can get with Max and that team. And, there's going to be a lot of emotions and stuff like that when this game gets, this series gets to tomorrow. But I think the biggest thing is Walker needs to go out there, figure out a way to get through inning one, put the team in a position to get, and just keep stacking those innings inning by inning. And we don't need to ask for anything more than just getting through clean innings at the beginning of the game.
All right, you're a good guy to ask, Andre, because you played through a lot of pain in your career and basically went out there without saying much of anything. In Max Scherzer's case, he actually did speak up and let the Dodgers know that, you know what, I'm not feeling right, and I'm not sure how much I could give you, and maybe it could go sideways on me. Are you in favor, looking back on things or just looking at them now, for a guy like Max Scherzer to not go out there, even though there is nothing structurally wrong, but to not go out there and be honest with the team and say, you know what, I'm not feeling the way I should be feeling on a day that I'm supposed to start?
Yeah, I think it's a double edge on it, right? We've seen it, and I know you have, Dave, I know I have, I know all the fans out there have seen it, where a guy has gone out there and performed really well and has done his job, and great, he's a hero, or we don't even know, not much has heard of it. But we've heard on the other end where a guy's gone out there, tried to bite down, grit his teeth through something that doesn't feel well, to step up and be the man, it doesn't work out, and then we come to find out days or weeks later that he was doing under injury, and both sides are like, well, why was he doing that? So we want our best guys pitching those top situations, which is Max, and that's the best guy available, guy with the most rest for that, to pitch in that situation. But at the same time, you got to trust him, you know, him making that decision to step up and say they got to trust the guys in the dugout, the guys making the calls wherever they're at for this team, that it's a lot better of a scenario to throw a Walker Buehler who's on 3 days rest and feels like he can step up and pitch rather than not pitch a guy who, you know, might not quite have what he thinks he's capable of giving. So I know that's kind of a tossing it back at you answer, but it's just a real touch thing. You know, hey, right, 10 or not even 10, 15, 20 years ago, you wanted your best player out there no matter what, whether he's banged up, you know, playing at 75%. But that mentality, that attitude has changed in the last 15 years and getting smaller where, you know, if you're not 100%, they don't want you out there performing. I know playoffs is a different game and a different battle and a different whole thing, but if there's someone like a Walker Buehler who's stepped up and answered that bell every time he's been to, let's roll our dice with Walker and see what we got.
How much is realistic to expect from Walker tonight, Andre? I know you said take it one inning at a time, but that bullpen sure has been used quite a bit, more than I can ever remember in Dodger postseason history.
Yeah, I know our guy Jose Kelly there had an unfortunate you know, thing. I know he stepped up big for us in this playoffs and has come through, but yeah, it's just that's the one concerning part I have is the taxing of the bullpen the way it has been and a couple of these short games. It's tough. You realize why making the playoffs as a wild card team, why making the playoffs as a you know, not having a home field advantage, going to 5-game series, not having those extra day rests really catch up to you over the course. Even though it's a lot less of games over the course of the season, it's a lot more intensity, it's a lot more meaningfulness per pitch, per inning, per game, and it adds up and it takes tolls. And unfortunately, this Dodger bullpen's been taxed and told. But hey, going back to it, there's a lot of guys who are in that dugout for the first time, in the situation for the first time, in a position to win and win this way. So you're just hoping and relying on that they're going to dig deep and bear through it here the last 2 weeks of you know, what you got to play baseball with, and worry about some of those repercussions that comes when you're going out there and pitching and playing, you know, with as much tax and wear and energy you're focused on each pitch.
That's the voice of the great Andre Ethier. This is pregame Dodger Talk. David Vasse on the field live at Truist Park in Atlanta as we get set for game 6 of the NLCS. And through the first 5 games, Andre, the MVP for the Braves has to be Eddie Rosario. And for the Dodgers, there is no doubt Chris Taylor has had the most valuable NLCS. How about those two players coming out of nowhere to take the shoulder of the offense and really make things go for both of their teams?
And is it kind of crazy that they kind of have similar stories, right?
Yeah.
Like they have very similar stories in their trajectory of their careers, not being, you know, being not wanted players, you know, they're utility type guys that can kind of do it all and do things, but they just find a way to fit in. And, you know, that's one thing I as I got older in my career, and especially now when I get a chance to work with young kids and do stuff, and I point out guys like Chris Taylor, and now I'm going to point out guys who are sorry. You know, it's not always the guy you see in the room all year. It's not the guy that always is the top player that comes through. It's these guys who've had to grind and figure out ways to come up and keep making their worth for a team, and they show up in these big situations. And this isn't the first time for Chris Taylor that he showed up this way in the playoffs for the Dodgers. He's come up big and clutch in many situations. And I've told you this, and I'm not saying it, and you can vouch for me, Dave. I've told you Chris Taylor is, if not my favorite player, is one of my favorite players on this team.
That seems to be the consensus, because Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner, who just stay in the booth at Dodger Stadium, they have fallen in love with Chris Taylor as well. So I guess what everybody loves about him, Andre, is that he doesn't really self-promote. He just lets his game do the talking.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, I sent a text to Dave Roberts in spring training saying, if you had, and this isn't obviously a knock on any of the other players and everyone else we got on this great team, but if you had 25 Chris Taylors on your team, you'd be a happy manager every day of the season.
No doubt. He never complains. Talk about a guy that's playing through some pain. After game 2, Andre, I saw him on the plane on the way back to Los Angeles, and he basically collapsed in his chair. Now, I think part of that was not only the emotional drain of the Giants series, he said that. Physically, he was banged up a little bit. And on top of it, he had that cold that's been going around Los Angeles. I don't know if it's made its way to Arizona, but he's never said one thing about it. I only knew about it because I saw him collapse in his seat on the plane, and also he was coughing up a lung when I interviewed him after his 3-home run game in Game 5.
Yeah, that's part of the game. That's part of what goes on, and we've all been there. With all those emotions and all those things you get. You're in a close environment with your teammates. You're picking up some of these colds, some of these things are going around. You're playing through injuries. You're playing through all kinds of stuff, and then you top it off with the 5-game series you just had with the Giants, which we already know is more emotionally charged than it is. And then we're playing 2 games where, in Atlanta, where you happen to be winning these games and be right there where you can take control of the series, and they kind of get taken away from you. And then you move on to, on a flight to fly across country for 5-6 hours. Yeah, there's a lot of emotional stuff going on, but you got to give credit not only to him, but, just for this team, the way they battled and have made it back into this series and put themselves in a situation to win a big game tonight. And like you said, earlier, put the pressure on Atlanta and make them really have a big, big feeling going in, into tonight, into tomorrow, and questioning, is this really going to happen again to us? Is this going to be another last year where we were up 2-0, we were up 3-1, and we lost?
Yeah, no doubt. And the one thing that I heard, Andre, from the Braves side is, They felt like getting blown out was easier to swallow than losing a heartbreaker, a walk-off style, coming back to Atlanta. Do you identify with that?
I hope they feel that same way tonight, Dave. I hope they feel if they lose the blowout tonight that it's easier to swallow, because I don't care what anyone says, losing a playoff game stinks any way you lose it. Whether you lost a close game or you got blown out, you're still scratching your head like, what could we have done to be in that game? You can't get these games back. There's no making up these games over the course of a season. You get behind the series. What do we always talk about is the way momentum swings in these playoff games can change the series so quickly.
Yeah.
Look across at our AL brethren over there and how much that game was changed by one pitch, one play in that series without a Boston team was controlling, and then it flipped into Houston's favor and they can never regain their footing again in that series. So, let's hope that the Dodgers' moment was that Game 5, and that this Game 6 tonight, they get that momentum, swing it back in their favor, and it's something where it's a slippery upslope battle for Atlanta to fight their way back into this series and figure out a way to stop the momentum of the Dodgers and not have another 3-1 collapse like they did last year.
We'll see how it goes tonight, Andre, but I got a good feeling about the way this game is going to go, and I have a good feeling if there is a Game 7, the Dodgers will be celebrating on their way back to Los Angeles, and you'll be popping some champagne in your backyard.
100%, and looking forward to another long run, World Series run. But, I think that's the biggest thing, right? Walker, solid inning-to-inning pitching, let our bullpen step up. And as we know, and I think the elephant in the room is, our offense has got to show up. We got to score runs to win these games.
Score first, score early. I think that's the recipe.
Yes, sir. Let's go. Big game tonight. Let's go, Walker.
All right, Andre. Thanks a lot for checking in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. And let's go. Go Dodgers.
And you could follow Andre Ethier on Instagram. He is very active now on social media, at Everett Ethier. Thanks, Andre.
Appreciate it.
There he goes, Andre Ethier. Sounded like he was at another Little League game for his kids, but he has a lot of passion for this team, for this organization, the only team that he played for in his 12 years in the major leagues. And he has that unique crossover identification right now, because a lot of the players that he played with in his Dodger career are still on this team. And not just the older guys like Kershaw and Jansen, but guys like Austin Barnes and Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager. He really feels it for these guys. There's no doubt about it. So Andre Ethier definitely has a lot invested, not only with the Dodger organization, but the guys that are wearing this uniform tonight in Game 6 of the NLCS here in Atlanta. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. David Vasse with you until the top of the hour. That's when we turn things over to Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck at the top of the hour. Alex Vesia will be our pregame guest. We appreciate Alex for stopping by. And also you'll hear more from Max Scherzer as he spoke to the media, amongst the media, that Max answered questions from here at Truist Park around 4 o'clock Eastern time and explained why he's not starting in Game 6. And, you know, the one thing that I think about is 2018, because if you remember, the 2018 NLCS went 7 games, and the Dodgers called upon Clayton Kershaw to close out that game, similar to the way the Dodgers called upon Max Scherzer to close out Game 5 of the NLDS in San Francisco. That was Dave Roberts' choice to bring in Max Scherzer into that ninth inning and close out that game. But then Kershaw had to pitch Game 1 of the World Series and pitched really well. And then Game 5, he couldn't have been feeling great. There's no way he could have been feeling great. So those are the type of things that happen to pitchers when they're pushed to the limits. And Kershaw would never make any excuses. He would take the ball. He'd find a way to take the ball. Guys are just built differently. And Max is much more in tune with his body. I wouldn't say more than Kershaw, but just as in tune with his body. And he feels like he could possibly give the Dodgers more in Game 7. And I guess when you're throwing with Walker Buehler, out at Dodger Stadium yesterday, and you see that Buehler is feeling a lot better than you're feeling, why not have Buehler pitch on 3 days rest, and I'll give you everything I have in Game 7. But when you talk about the differences in players and how they approach and attack things, Clayton Kershaw is one of a kind. He's an animal when it comes to baseball. Nicest guy you'll meet off the field, does a lot of good things for a lot of people out there, is a great dad, a great husband. But when he gets to the ballpark and it's time to pitch, it's go time. He's not going to not be on that mound unless there is something significantly wrong with him. Let's go out to the phones for the first time. Been talking to Vesia, been talking to Andre Ethier. Let's go out to Temple City. Mary Ann, you're on Dodger Talk, pregame edition. How you doing, Mary Ann?
I'm doing great, and let's go Dodgers. But I have a question for you. What is your take? Why don't they walk Rosarius?
Oh, walk Eddie Rosario?
Yeah, instead of pitching to him, because he gets on every time.
Yeah, I feel like it's dictated by the game situation. You just can't blanketly walk him. He's leading off, and hitting behind him is Freddie Freeman. So that's a little bit difficult to do, Marianne, to be able to intentionally walk Rosario to get to Freddie Freeman. So I think that's part of the reason why.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go Dodgers. We're going to do it.
I love it, Mary Ann. I feel good about this game tonight for the Dodgers. And starting with their lineup tonight, just to fill you in on how it's looking, Mookie Betts is leading off in right field. Corey Seager's in shortstop. Trey Turner, who had 3 hits in Game 5, is hitting third and playing second base. Will Smith, who has caught every single inning of this postseason for the Dodgers, is catching and hitting cleanup. Chris Taylor moved up in the order, starting at third base, and will for the remainder of the postseason. He's hitting fifth. Cody Bellinger is hitting behind him, hitting sixth in center field. A.J. Pollock in left field, and Matt Beatty getting his first start at first base in the NLCS, and Walker Buehler on the mound on 3 days rest. So that's how it looks for the Dodgers as they get ready for Game 6 of the NLCS. And as I mentioned a couple of Dodger talks ago, we do have hope. And the biggest sign of hope was signaled by Atlanta's own Charles Barkley. As you know, the NBA on TNT studios are here in Atlanta. That's where Charles makes all his infamous guarantees. And those guarantees have not come to fruition. And Dodger fans are hoping that the streak continues, because on opening night of the NBA on Tuesday in Los Angeles, right in front of Staples Center, Charles Barkley made one of his famous guarantees.
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteeing.
Yes, there you go, Dodger fans. That took place after game four, and the Dodgers won game five, and I feel like for good karma, we had to play Barkley's infamous guarantee. Let's play one more time, Colin.
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteeing.
There you go. That'll help the Dodgers. Charles Barkley's infamous guarantee that the Braves would win the NLCS. If that doesn't give you a lot of hope, I don't know what will, because none of his guarantees and predictions have come to fruition here the last few years on the NBA on TNT. So thank you, Charles Barkley. And I actually text Ernie Johnson the other night and let him know that I am playing his prediction, his guarantee, nightly on Dodger Talk. And we will be with you again after Game 6 on post-game Dodger Talk. Win or lose, we will have Dodger Talk live from Truist Park after the final out tonight. But I fully expect a Dodger win and to force a Game 7 here in Atlanta that would have Max Scherzer on the mound in some capacity. Nothing is guaranteed that he would start that game. He left it out there when he was asked whether or not it would be as a starter or as a role that Julio Urias played in Game 5 of the NLDS, where he would come out of the bullpen. But Max Scherzer will be on the mound tomorrow night here in Atlanta in some capacity. I would imagine, considering how routine-oriented he is and how much he's been going through to try to get his arm to unlock, in his words, that he would start this game rather than have to warm up in the bullpen. But I could see either scenario, because the Dodgers would be able to match up in the very first inning against some of the Braves' right-handed and left-handed hitters, with Eddie Rosario and Freddie Freeman being the first two hitters in this lineup and hitting left-handed. I could see maybe a left-hander start that game. Maybe. You never know. Everything's on the table in the postseason, especially in a Game 7. For the Braves tonight, Eddie Rosario, who has been unbelievable for them in this NLCS, hitting .571 with 21 total bases, is leading off and playing left field. Freddie Freeman, who started this series 0-for-8 with 7 strikeouts, is now the Freddie Freeman that we all know. He is hitting .500 now with 2 home runs since Game 2 of this NLCS. Ozzie Albies hitting third, playing second base. Austin Riley, who walked the Braves off here in Game 1, is playing third base. Adam Duvall's in center field. Jock Peterson and his pearl necklace is hitting sixth and playing right field. Dansby Swanson, the sure-handed shortstop, is hitting seventh. Travis d'Arnaud out of Long Beach is doing the catching for Ian Anderson, who did not look very impressive in Game 2. And I know, talking to some Dodgers before Game 5, they felt very confident about their chances to beat Ian Anderson if they were able to force the series back to Atlanta. They've been able to do that, and here we are, the Dodgers and Braves getting set for Game 6 of the NLCS here from Truist Park in Atlanta. Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner will have the Word's Eye View, and Tim Cates is coming up next with Morongo Casino, Dodgers on Deck. Thanks to our engineer here in Atlanta, our guy John Moore. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Andre Ethier and Alex Vesia for joining us here on pregame Dodger Talk. And thanks to you for listening. I'm on the record. You could go on the record with me. You could podcast it, Colin. I'm not scared. Go ahead. Podcast this prediction. The Dodgers will win this game tonight by a score of 5-3. That is my prediction. A Game 7 will be headed your way tomorrow. First pitch of a Game 7 would be at 5:08 Pacific time, same as tonight's first pitch, which is right around the corner. But first, Tim Cates and Morongo Casino, Dodgers on Deck, is next right here on Dodgers Radio, AM 570 LA Sports. See ya.